This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is another podcast of Worldwide Wave, the international LGBT news and current affairs show, every week on Australia's first LGBT radio station, Joy 94.9.
Surfing the globe, bringing you news, views, and current affairs for the LGBT community. This is the Worldwide Wave.
It's Worldwide Wave Time, Joy's international news and current affairs show, especially for the LGBTI community. We take you around the globe one country at a time. Tonight in the studio with me, Sarah is here.
Good evening.
Hello, Paul.
Hello.
And a big thank you to Ruby, Ian and Dean for the Informer, and Richard with us each and every week for the news. He's been called the first gay man in world history. He was a prolific writer and a lawyer. He has street names named after him, and there's even a festival in his honour. He spoke passionately and publicly in defence of homosexuality at a time when the word didn't even exist.
Who is this man?
Who is this man? Let me introduce you to Karl Heinrich Ulrich from 19th century Bavaria, a part of modern-day Germany.
How did this mystery man survive in an era not ready for homosexuality?
What was gay called before there was the term gay?
And what does this radical legacy mean to modern-day LGBTI rights? Bringing us the story of the first known gay activist in the modern world, tonight we're joined in the studio by Douglas Pretzel, who has just completed his thesis at La Trobe University on the legacy of Karl Heinrich Ulrich, the pioneer of the modern gay rights movement.
Hi, my name is Kenneth. I'm from LGB Denmark. You're hearing me on the Worldwide Wave.
Gedanken, ob heute, ob morgen, was kannst du denn ändern mit all den Sorgen? Wo sind deine Träume? Wo sind die Momente? Lass uns abhauen, oder ist das das Ende? Komm, lass uns gehen. Sonnenuntergänge gemeinsam sehen. Ja, ich hab genug. Alles andere ist wie Selbstbetrug. Mal weit mit dir am Strand, mal weit immer entlang, so wie ein Herz, Herzstillstand. Mal weit mit dir allein, auch wenn nicht die Sonne scheint. Unsere Herzen sind vereint. Tausendmal und tausend Nächte lang leben wir die Träume endlos lang. Du kannst es ja lassen. Wie willst du wissen, ob wir es schaffen? Wenn du nicht mitkommst, wirst du immer fragen, wer es gegangen. Dann könnte ich dir sagen: Komm, lass uns gehen. Sonnenuntergänge gemeinsam sehen. Ja, ich hab genug. Alles andere ist wie es ist. Tausendmal
That was Vanessa May with Millenweit, Miles Away.
Yeah, I'm not going to jump in and help you on these ones tonight.
I'm just going to put my O-level German to good test.
Excellent, excellent. It's Well By Wave, Joy's International News and Current Affairs Show. Messages coming in on Facebook about that neo-Nazi story. It's quite the bizarre one. Jump online and have a bit of a read. So basically the leader of this neo-Nazi group has come out as gay and opened up about his Jewish heritage. Hoffler says he's a walking contradiction, and Fenwick follows up with most alt retards are. I'm not sure he's meant to say retards, retards? We are talking all things Bavaria, or I guess part of Germany tonight. Welcome to the studio, Dr. Douglas Pretzel.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Now, you've come across this person who, a week ago, I really had no idea, which is Karl Heinrich Ulrich. Tell us, how did you come across this interesting person?
Well, I used to live in Munich before I moved to Melbourne, and back in, it would be 2008, there was a street festival in a place called the Glockenbach, which is the gay area of the city. And as part of the street festival, they were renaming a very small square, the Karl Heinrich Ulrichsplatz. And I had my first smartphone phone, so I looked it up.
Google will know.
Yeah, and like you, I'd never heard of him before and saw his story and thought, he's amazing. So I've been reading about him ever since, and finally I'm now in a position to actually do some research on him and, you know, add to knowledge about him.
And share that story. Tell us, who is this man?
So, the first thing to say is he actually came from Hanover and not Bavaria originally. When he was living there, it was a separate kingdom. Germany wasn't a united country, and Hanover had no anti-gay law. He was a lawyer, he was a judge, and he was, through blackmail, he ended up leaving the legal profession.
Blackmail about his sexuality?
About his sexuality. And over a number of years, came to the decision that he had to do something to change the world, to change people's opinions about gay people. And the first problem he had was there was no word to describe gay people, so he invented his own word.
And the word is?
Erning. Erning.
Erning.
Yeah.
And that means gay, in our terminology.
It started off meaning gay, but one of the interesting things is over the course of, he wrote a number of books, and over the course of those books, when he gets to the end, Erning has a whole lot of subdivisions that cover transvestite, bisexual,
intersex as well.
Intersex as well. So Erning becomes a sort of queer, you know, rather than gay.
So had he done his research as well, kind of finding these people? If he was blackmailed about it, it must have had to be quite hidden in society. So how did he find?
So he wrote a couple of books, first of all, putting forward an argument for an identity for gay people. And as a response to that, he received hundreds and hundreds of letters from right across Germany, from Austria, from Russia, from America. People writing in and saying, yes, that's me.
So people who equally didn't have a name for what they were feeling read the book and went, wow, that's it.
That's right. And on the basis of that, you know, because they were writing their deepest secrets to him, hundreds of people saying, you got it almost right, but this or that or something else that's slightly different. So he set about writing another 10 books, analysing these letters and refining his theory based on that to include all the things he hadn't included originally.
We're talking about 1860s Germany. Was that risky to put out a book and for people equally to write a letter, you know, divulging their personal lives?
Well, when he published his first books, he published them under the name Numa Numantius. He didn't use his own name. And he published through a publisher in a different state where they had no censorship laws, where he couldn't be traced. Now, various people tried to suppress the books, but didn't succeed because of the laws in Saxony where it was being published. The letters he received, almost all of them, were anonymous. They just said a place where they were from and nothing more than that. One or two did become non-anonymous and became correspondents who wrote back many, many times to Ulrichs.
Now, he became non-anonymous too. He put his real name to the books and made speeches in public. Mm-hmm. He basically outed himself.
Yeah, so Ulrichs was a bit of a bolshy, and when...
that's an understatement.
When he was living in Hanover, obviously writing his books, and Prussia decided to invade Hanover. They were gradually going to put together the whole of Germany as one country. But he was a Hanoverian nationalist, so he thought, I'm not in favour of this, I'll protest against it. And he became a rabble organiser in Hanover against the Prussian authorities. And because of that, he was thrown into prison twice. And on the second time he was thrown into prison, the Prussian police discovered his books and long lists of all the people who'd been writing to him. There was a list of 150 names of people who'd been writing to him in Berlin alone. And they retained that and leaked it to the press. So all the newspapers around Germany published articles saying that Numen Amantius is Karl Heinrich Ulrichs. So from that point on, what's the point in being, you know, silent about it? So he was sent on exile to Munich, where he attended the Congress of German Jurists, and he stood up on a platform and gave a protest exactly 150 years ago.
Wow. Tell us a bit. This seems to be something quite monumental to me, that he, number one, the protest he was giving was against paragraph 175. He was speaking up against sodomy laws.
That's right, yeah.
Putting it right out there in a very... what's the word? It's a really high-profile group of people, an influential group of people.
So the Congress was actually all the lawyers from all the German-speaking countries, and they were there for a reason, because they wanted to create a unified Germany, and that's what the conference was all about. It had been going for 3 years. Ulrichs had sent a paper to it every year, and it had been suppressed every year. And finally, this third year, when he was sent into exile anyway, and it was going to be in the same city, he said, I want to have the right to protest the suppression of my motion. And they allowed him to do that protest. He got up onto the stage. Everyone knew who he was. And half the hall is shouting him down. Half the hall is cheering him. His protest is accepted by the bench, but he doesn't get to say a word.
Oh, he didn't get to speak?
No. But it is the first gay rights protest ever in the world.
The half that was supporting him, that wasn't necessarily supporting sexuality in any way. It was supporting his right to be able to speak.
Exactly, his right to be heard. And some of them may not have known what he was going to be saying. But there were people in the Congress who did come up to him privately and say, what you're doing is right. So there was support within the legal profession for what he was doing.
150 years ago.
Yes.
We have so much more to explore about Karl Heinrich Ulrich, because we didn't know about him, and he's just an amazing, fascinating person. This is World Wide Wave with our guest, Dr. Douglas Pretzel.
Hello, this is Wolfgang from Conchita Wurst City, which is Vienna in Austria. You're listening to World Wide Wave from Joy 94.9.
Ich schlaf alleine ein, wach alleine auf. Und dazwischen träum ich von dir. Tag ein, Tag aus, der gleiche Tagesablauf. Ich frag mich, ob du überhaupt existierst. Doch alle sagen, dass man die besten Dinge findet, wenn man sie nicht sucht. Die Antwort auf alle Fragen, mein Hauptgewinn, ja, das bist du. Auf einmal stehst du da und lass mich an. In meinem Kopf ist eine Achterbahn. Alles um uns wird still, keine
die Lichter strahlen in tausend Farben. Sag mal, spürst du das auch? Gefühle außer Plan. In meinem Kopf ist eine Achterbahn. Völlig abgehoben, keine Schwerkraft mehr. Nur noch du und ich und ein Lichtermeer. Und ein Lichtermeer. Gefühle außer Plan. Gefühle außer Plan, wie in der Achterbahn. Das ist mein neues Ich, es strahlt in neuem Licht, so wie ein Feuerwerk zum neuen Jahr. Nur du und ich, was anderes brauch ich nicht. Wenn man dran glaubt, dann werden Träume wahr. Ja, alle sagen, dass man die besten Dinge findet. Stehst du da und lachst mich an? In meinem Kopf ist eine Achterbahn. Alles um uns wird still, keine Menschen mehr. Und die Lichter strahlen in tausend Farben. Sag mal, spürst du das auch? Gefühle außer Plan. In meinem Kopf ist eine Achterbahn. Völlig abgehoben, keine Schwerkraft mehr. Nur noch du und ich. Und ein Lichtermeer, und ein Lichtermeer. Gefühle außer Plan, wie in der Achterbahn. Gefühle außer Plan, wie in der Achterbahn. In meinem Kopf ist eine Achterbahn. Spürst du das? Sag mal, spürst du das? Sag mal, spürst du das auch? Keine Schwerkraft mehr, nur noch du und ich und ein Lichtermeer und ein Lichtermeer. In meinem Kopf ist eine Achterbahn.
Willkommen bei Joy. For a 90.9.
Oh, I'm so impressed. We are, of course, in Germany tonight, hence the music you're hearing there. You can send us a message, 0427-JOY-949 or 1300-JOY-949 on the old bat phone. We're talking to Douglas Pretzel, who's just finished his thesis on Karl Heinrich Ehrlich, who is, I guess, the pioneer of modern gay rights. We're talking about Germany, the region we now call as Germany, back in the 1860s. Was this the centre of homosexuality of the day? Because Germany as a whole, there seemed to be a whole lot of things happening around that time.
In terms of the modern gay movement, yes. From about 1864 through to 1935, Germany was where it was at.
It was the place to be.
Yeah.
There was... The King of Bavaria at the time, King Ludwig II, was, I guess, he never married. He was also
in the audience when Ulrich gave his speech, and by all accounts, he only came for that speech.
Right.
Yeah.
He certainly reported as being gay, so they didn't necessarily come into contact or anything, but he turned up for it.
Yeah. But he knew who he was.
Yeah.
Spoke to him as well.
Yeah.
The power of words to speak to people, make you feel included.
What about other... There were other people of note in the area at the time. I guess the seeds of what we call sexual identity were starting to be theorised around the time. Was Karl Heinrich a part of that?
So... there's a tendency to see Ulrichs as working completely alone, but if you actually look at his correspondence, he was very networked with a lot of people, and one of the people he was writing a lot of letters to and receiving a lot from was a guy called Karl Maria Kurtbeny. The thing that's remarkable about this man is he invented the word homosexual. not earning, homosexual, in a letter to Ulrichs in 1868. He also invented the word heterosexual as well. So that's
so homosexual came first. well, one might say.
Sounds
well,
like it.
Ulrichs actually invented words for homo and heterosexual as well. So there was urning and dining. It was just an alternative to that. But urning was the word that was used in Germany for homosexual men really pretty much up until the First World War. It was only after that that homosexuality took over.
Was there any reason why Germany was a melting pot? What were the social factors for this kind of gay...
All
right.
A freedom, at least, to be able to talk about.
You can give a very long or a very short answer to it. basically, Germany had been part of a massive empire that fell apart at about the time Napoleon was invading various places. So you ended up with this patchwork of nations, some of which had Napoleonic code, which had no anti-gay law, and some of which had Prussian-style paragraph 175s. And this happened at a time between 1848 and 1870 when there was a national debate across all the German-speaking areas about shall we come together and create this utopian country together. And that meant it was possible, just in that period of time, to write utopian things like Karl Heinrich Ulrichs was writing and have an audience that wasn't just other people who felt the same, but were some of the leading medical minds of the day,
and
some of the
minds.
Lawyers, other people who were just interested liberals who thought this is an issue I should take an interest in.
And something like a new country might, a new way of thinking.
Yeah.
So the right time and the right place. I guess was Karl Heinrich the guy who pushed the snowball at the top of the hill?
He was, though one of the things he writes in a letter to his sister very, very early on is that behind him there's a whole group of these other earning men in Frankfurt who are egging him on or saying, you have to do this. So he's not acting alone. There's a group of people who realise the importance of what he's doing and are encouraging him.
You're talking about the letters. So letters have been crucial to your studies and your learnings.
Yeah.
What have you discovered from the letters that Karl Heinrich has written?
So I think there's a tendency for people when they've written histories of Ulrichs to write about him as this sort of monomaniac, a little mad, brilliant guy sort of sitting there in his room writing books and sending them off to the publisher. What emerges when you actually look at the letters is that instead he was very, very networked to huge numbers of people right across Europe who were writing letters to him. He was receiving them. Sometimes there were correspondence that would go back and forward for a long time. Some of them were very important people, so significant medical minds. Some of them were prominent gay people in Germany at that time. He was gaining information from them that he was using in his books. He was testing ideas with them. They were coming back to him with objections to some of the things he wrote. So he was a very much more engaged and networked individual than some other historians would pull him out as.
How does he come across in his letters? Is he jovial? Does he...
Well, see, I have a theory that if you went back and looked at him, I think he had Asperger's. But it's a very bad thing for a psychiatrist to go back and diagnose people through their writings. he does have a very intense rhetorical style when he's writing that makes it quite hard to read. But that was kind of typical of the writing in Germany at that time.
He was a poet as well?
Yes.
A romantic poet, or how did his poetry come across?
So it's it's all this very emotional 19th century poetry about love and about heart's desires and things like that. I personally don't like it at all.
did homosexuality come into his poetry as
yes,
well? Like it was love between men?
Absolutely. So one of the first things he published about homosexuality was about Antinous, the lover of Hadrian, and it's a love poem to Antinous.
He came out with some really bold determinations. I guess some of the... He verbalised some of the fundamentals that we know today effectively as truths. Sexuality is not determined by genitalia. Nature, the whole nature versus nurture argument. He said nature determines sexual orientation.
Yeah.
These are... is that foresight? Is it bold? Is it a guess? How does he get to that point where he can make these really forthright, bold statements?
Well, some of this was appearing, or at least beginning to appear, in the medical literature at the time. There were also philosophers starting to say similar things. What Ulrichs did is pull it all together and make it into a bold theory of identity. Which was quite a remarkable thing, and he was doing it on his own terms and on the terms of the hundreds of other gay men who were writing to him.
Did any women write to him?
No, actually, I don't think any did. He did make an attempt to include lesbians in his theory, but the title of the book was Man, Manly Love. Mm. So I think that rather deterred women from reading it.
Probably determined a few people from reading it, I would imagine, at the time. We are talking all things Karl Heinrich Ulrich, the pioneer of modern gay rights, with our guest, Dr. Douglas Pretzel. It's World Wide Wave.
Want to hear more? Find out about LGBT life in over 100 countries. Download free podcasts of this show. Subscribe to iTunes or follow us on Twitter. Visit joy.org.au/worldwidewave.
Hi, I'm Lisa.
And I'm Sue.
We do a podcast called This Is Our Lives.
It's fun and, well, it's a little left of centre.
We talk about all things important
and irrelevant
in the world right here in Melbourne, Australia.
This Is Our Lives is only available via Joy Podcast.
Exclusive to Joy, in fact.
Well, that's a bit fancy, Lisa.
I know.
We would love you to subscribe. It's easy.
Just like you, Sue.
Hey, you can hear the regular podcasts on joy.org.au/
or via iTunes. We might just fluff your feathers.
Hello, everybody. My name is Ludwig Mohamed Zahid. I'm a gay imam speaking from France on World Wide Wave.
Delight, which is Forever Light by Beatrice Ilge.
Well, because we're in Germany. We're in Germany tonight. Now, a message in on Facebook. I don't know if you did you see the clip that's doing the rounds, which is the video of Miranda Devine, Lyle Sheldon and Mark Latham falling off the stage at the campaign event, and they kind of one fell and they sort of all fell off the stage. It's a good watch. It's on our Facebook page. Greg says, can we just watch the video of Miranda, Lyle and Mark falling off the stage at the recent same-sex marriage forum on constant repeat until the end? And yeah. We've replied, yes. Speaking of yes, don't forget this Friday is the last chance to post your yes vote to make it count. 18 to 34-year-olds are currently the lowest voter turnout, according to the polls. According to the polls. And the highest voter turnout is the over 65s. So if you know anybody who is 18 to 34, call them, text them, Facebook them, offer to take their vote to the post box for them.
Show them what a post box looks like.
Show them what it is. Send them a photo. Make sure they post their yes by this Friday. We are talking all things Karl Heinrich Ulrich tonight, the pioneer of modern gay rights, with Dr. Douglas Pretzel. Douglas, we were talking about letters, which, again, young people today probably have no idea, really, how to write a letter. Are we losing something about our past, our history, the way we communicate?
Well, we're probably making it harder for the historians of the future, but...
you'd just be able to search online.
That's right, yeah. No, I don't. I think we just communicate in different ways. I mean, when the telephone came along, people communicated differently. When telegraph came along, email, and now, you know, social media...
But letter writing is an art form, and I mean,
It is, but it's a very slow art form. So, you know, how much quicker would have Ulrich's pulled together his theories if it was on Facebook?
It would have just gone viral, I'm quite sure. I'm quite at a loss personally that I knew nothing about Karl Heinrich. Why is it that he has remained a secret?
Yeah, so he's fallen between a number of different stools. Basically, the first issue for him is that he was doing it so early. So there wasn't really anyone else around to record what he did, although Magnus Hirschfeld, who was the next generation, did try and get some of his biography down. Hirschfeld also gathered all of the memorabilia, all of the things about Ulrich's, in a place called the Institute for Sexology in Berlin. And unfortunately, the very first thing when Hitler got into power, the first thing that they did was to completely destroy the entire collection of the Institute of Sexology.
Oh, no. Specifically sexology.
Yep. They did it because there were almost certainly records of prominent Nazis held in there, and they destroyed everything. And Hirschfeld was also seen, because he was a Jewish intellectual and a homosexual, he was seen as the arch evil person by the Nazis.
I'll say that ticked every box that they were against.
So that meant that, you know, when you get to the post-war period, there's very little around about Ulrich's, and you also have a tendency for historians about Germany and within Germany to have this vision on the war and the aftermath of the war and not very much interest in what went on before. which is terrifically sad. It means an awful lot of German history gets very neglected. Ulrichs, though, you would have thought in the 1970s when gay history really took off, LGBTI history and then queer history, you would have thought that Ulrichs would have been a prominent part of that. There was a slight problem when Foucault wrote his History of Sexuality, which was the first book about the history of homosexuality, really. He talked very eloquently about the medicalization of homosexuality and positioned it as happening in 1870 with an article by someone called Karl Westphal. So for anyone who came after Foucault, who appreciated what Foucault had done, Ulrichs was a fly in the ointment. You know, he was somewhere he shouldn't have been. If it was a process of medicalization, how could Ulrichs be doing this 10 years before?
So, he wasn't working from a medical mindset, though. He didn't have a medical background.
No, he was a lawyer.
He was much more humanistic, if you like.
So I think there were a whole lot of different things that just conspired to mean that really, until very, very recently, there hasn't been much scholarship about Ulrichs. There was a biography that was written in 1988, and his works were translated into English in 1994. But I would say it's probably just the last 3 years that you've got serious scholarship about Ulrichs around the world.
So you've got plenty to add to this story.
I hope
reading
so.
The letters for us, distilling his...
As an LGBTI community, are we good at retaining and honouring our history?
I think we're getting better. In the 1970s, when the first archives started out and the first historical forays into our past started happening, a lot of the people who were doing it were not expert historians or archivists. And some of the early work that was done maybe missed the point or missed out certain things. So I would say probably from the late 80s onwards, there's been a professionalisation of LGBTI and queer history and an awful lot of archives around the world. The Lesbian and Gay Archive here in Australia, the One Archive in the United States, and the Hirschfeld Archive in Germany, that have been gathering much of the archival material and historical material relating to LGBTI history.
And what do you think that this story and other histories, but particularly his story, has to speak to us today? How does history relate to us now?
Yeah, so... Actually, I do have a very pat answer for that, but I'm not going to do that. Ulrichs, the legacy of Ulrichs, what's important about him to the world is he effectively kicked off the gay identity. He was the first person to put forward a framework where your sexual object defined who you were as a human being. It was your identity and not just something you did at the weekends. That was a huge step. It was a revolutionary act to do it. And the fact that he did it as a community effort, with hundreds of people writing to him to change the identity slightly, to make it something more real, make it something more usable, he made it very inclusive. So there was no dividing of transgender from lesbian, from bisexual, from gay. They were all together under one identity and were, yeah, as far as Ulrichs was concerned, should be working together.
What a legacy. Thank you so much for bringing him to our attention, and I hope we have given him the respect that he well and truly deserves. Dr. Douglas Pretzel, thank you for coming in and joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Receive LGBT news from around the world throughout the week. Like World Wide Wave on Facebook now.
For a unique mix of world news and queer culture, tune in to Saturday Magazine, 10 a.m. till noon on Joy 94.9.
Joy's longest-running news and current affairs program, featuring a weekly hub of discussion on politics, LGBTI world events, cinema and culture. It's an enlightening and informative Saturday wake-up.
Hosted by David McCarthy, Saturday Magazine is 2 hours of essential listening to start your weekend.
Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9, proudly sponsored by Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
The iconic Queen of Pop is back in the most amazing recreation ever. Relive the magic and the voice of Whitney Houston. Rock City and Showtime are proud to present the greatest love of all, The Whitney Houston Show. Performed by the incredible Belinda Davids with her international band and dancers. Relive the amazing Whitney Houston live at the Athenaeum from January 12. Tickets on sale now from Ticketek.
Joy sponsor.
Let Joy help find your voice.
Applications are now open for Joy's radio training course.
Want to boost your self-confidence?
Maybe present a show on something you're passionate about?
Or perhaps you want to be the next big thing on radio. Joy's training course is a great way to get started.
We're now taking applications for our next training course commencing October 28th.
Places are limited and filling fast.
Head to joy.org.au for more info and apply today.
Joy 94.9. Your voice, your radio station.
This is Ulrike Lunacek, member of the European Parliament and co-president of the Parliament's LGBT intergroup on the World Wide Wave.
I feel so enriched after tonight's show. Thank you so much to Dr. Douglas Pretzel from La Trobe University, just completed his thesis on Karl Heinrich Ulrich, the pioneer of our modern gay rights movement.
Fascinating stuff tonight. And thank you to everyone who's messaged in tonight and this week. On Facebook, we have Hope, Darren, Rachel, Roy, Jonas, and a heap more.
And we'd also like to thank podcaster Alex and also the front desk and lovely Gordon.
Urban Dreaming is coming up after us with Maddie and Miscellaneous and Surami. Talk stories of resilience, survival, and connecting with our culture. And stick with us all night. Triple Bypass at 9, Jam Sessions at 10, Been There, Done That at 11. And a big thank you to the Been There, Done That team, because they actually gave us the heads up on Douglas and said you should talk to him about this story. And we are so, so glad that they did. We'll be back same bat time next week on World Wide Wave. Taking us out.
Wollen wir tanzen gehen?
You've done well. See you next week.
Heute schreiben wir Geschichten. Wir beide gehen heute noch steil. Wir stehen heute auf jeder Liste. Die Nacht gehört uns zwei. Heute ist alles free und easy. Und wir beide, das geht uns vor drei. Alle Sorgen, die vergessen. Die Nacht gehört uns zwei. Noch ein Stund und die Sonne geht unter. Noch ein Stund und die Sonne geht auf. Noch ein Stund und wir werden erst munter. Wird so hell, keiner geht nach Haus. Schreiben wir Geschichte. Du, der Abend, der geht nie vorbei. Komm, wir gehen auf die Piste. Die Nacht gehört uns zwei. Heute leben wir für immer. Mach die Augen zu und fühl dich frei. Komm, wir nehmen die mit dem Himmel. Die Nacht gehört uns zwei. Noch ein Stund und die Sonne geht unter. Noch ein Stund und die Sonne geht auf. Noch ein Stund und wir werden erst munter. Bis zum Morgen, wir freuen uns drauf.
Nachher Stund und die Sonne geht unter. Nachher Stund und die Sonne geht auf. Nachher Stund und wir werden erst munter. Wird so hell, keiner geht nach Haus.
Thanks for listening to another podcast of World Wide Wave, the show that takes you around the globe one country at a time. World Wide Wave is the international news and current affairs show on Australia's LGBT radio station, Joy 94.9. You can listen live every Tuesday night from 7 p.m. Eastern Australian Time on 94.9 FM in Melbourne or online at joy.org.au. You'll find all of our podcasts at joy.org.au/worldwidewave. Or follow us on Facebook for the latest international LGBT news. Search W3Joy on Facebook now.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.